Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today as we talk about the subject, should citizens have the right of self-defense? And my answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. That's the subject. But before we get back to the subject matter and open the lines for your telephone call, let me make a very special announcement. There's a meet and greet fundraiser. That's meet and greet fundraiser for our next mayor. He's the candidate for mayor, and I believe our next mayor, Al Ferrero. It's hosted by Jeff Youngblood, Sean and Jennifer Roberts. It's located at 12799. That's 12799 Camellia Drive East, right here in Jacksonville, Jacksonville 32223. It's for February the 18th, February the 18th at 6 o'clock p.m., 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock p.m. is the time. That's a meet-and-greet fundraiser for our next mayor, I believe the right mayoral candidate, Al Ferrero, hosted by Jeff Youngblood, Sean and Jennifer Roberts. It's at 12799. That's 12799 Camellia Bay Drive East, Jacksonville, Florida, 32223. That's at 6 o'clock on the 18th of this month. So the invitation is open. Be delighted to have you there. I'm making the announcement on his behalf, and I think it'd be a worthy time to go and spend with him, if nothing else, to be an encouragement. Let him know you're praying for him. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should citizens have the right of self-defense? Some say no. Our politicians say no. Our president says the Bill of Rights is not absolute, that it should be curtailed or changed at will when necessary. And so my question is to you, is that needed? Is it necessary? Should we cancel our Bill of Rights? Should we cancel the Second Amendment right? That's the question. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Youngblood, anybody with a half a brain knows that a civilization needs to be able to defend itself. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to just depend on an army. But when those amendments to the Constitution, like the Second Amendment, was written, those were written by statesmen. Mm-hmm. Statesmen, Dr. Youngblood. And have you ever noticed there is no history is well written. There is nothing about George Washington's son had documents that showed he was selling his dad's favors. John Adams, all of those men were statesmen. But now we have a whole political party that's actually political prostitutes, and they will sell themselves for anything, for a vote, to get in power. So that's the problem that you got. And Dr. Youngblood, I'm mighty afraid that before Christ comes back, you will see the Second Amendment be abolished. No other country has that. You know, Russia doesn't have a Second Amendment. So I just think it's an old document, and I think that the political prostitutes will get rid of that.
Well, Tom, you're exactly right.
It'll get us some votes.
In fact, you're exactly right. But you can go to the cities that I call them the blue cities, blue states, those that are controlled by Democrats, and you can see some of the cities and states that have some of the most serious gun control laws. You can go to Detroit. You can go to Chicago. You can look at New York City and other cities across the nation, and you can find major, mega shootings and killings, and yet they have the most serious gun control laws in the states. So gun control is not going to change the heart. My Bible says that the heart's deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? The gun does not pull the trigger itself. It takes a demented mind holding the weapon to pull the trigger to do the shooting. Tom, I want to ask you a question while I got you, while you're on the line. Here's a headline. Biden says Second Amendment was never absolute. President Joe Biden offered more of his thoughts on gun control, expressing concern to reporters at the White House about the lethality of modern weapons. Quote, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, was never absolute. You couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed, end quote. He goes on to talk about 9mm bullets can, a 9mm bullet can blow the lungs right out of the body. There's simply no rationale, no basis for the term of self-protection, he says. I think things have gotten so bad that everybody is getting more and more rational about doing something about the Second Amendment. This goes on to say Biden has been a part of the various efforts to control gun violence over the years. He was involved in the 1994 assault weapon ban, which expired in 2004. And by the way, Tom, you're perhaps familiar with the fact that during that ban from 1994 to 2004 against assault weapons, they claimed that it brought the shootings down dramatically. Go back and look at the history. It did not change the trajectory of the upward tick of violence in relationship to guns and shootings as a result of the ban on assault weapons then. In fact, another headline says, Joe Biden says the Second Amendment is useless. Listen to this, then you can respond. The Second Amendment is useless because the government can crush you, end quote. So how do we respond to an insane statement like that?
Dr. Youngblood, I'm afraid there's a word called revolution, but I don't think you'll see that happen here. I think that this the various Democratic administrations will abolish the right to bear arms. But Dr. Emily, I'm kind of puzzled. Is he talking about saving lives? Is that what he's talking about? There's tragic amount of lives lost due to shooting, so we need to get rid of guns. If that's true, why don't we do away with abortion? Because there's millions of people aborted, and nobody's doing anything about it. But it goes back to Dr. Youngblood, what I said. They're not statesmen. A statesman would bring that fact up. But they're merely a political prostitute. They're willing to sell themselves to any John who will give them some money.
Absolutely.
So that's the sad part. That may shock some listeners, but it's the truth. 70% of criminals vote Democratic. Does that give you a little clue, maybe, of where this thing is headed?
Gives us a giant clue. In fact, I believe that is the summation and the answer to the question in relationship to what Biden is now saying. In fact, I'm looking further at the article. It says, President Joe Biden is once again pledging to ban assault weapons. In a speech to the National Action Network that he gave, the president failed to define the term as per usual because there's no class weapon that carries that distinction. Biden did, however, go back to his tired and true old one-liner. If you want to take on the federal government, you need to have some F-15s and not an AR-15, end quote. That's an open threat to the general public that if you have a right to keep and bear arms, a Second Amendment right, and you're going to try to defend yourself and your family, that somehow, some way, the federal government can crush you. That's his mindset. But, Tom, just as you've alluded and said so clearly so many times, we're watching it get worse and worse, not better and better. And I want our listeners to understand that that's what the Bible says will happen. We'll see the days get worse and worse. In fact, we get to the point, according to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, that good will be called bad and bad will be called good. And we're living in those days today. And so for everyone listening, and Tom, I'll say to both of us, we need to recognize that it's right on the very edge of the rapture of the church. And the scripture says, Luke 21:28, when we see all of these things taking place, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. And I can rejoice with that thought, even though it is a dark, dangerous, deadly society we're living in. It won't be long before the Lord Jesus Christ will snatch his bride, the church, the believers, out of this old world. Tom, brother, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Thank you so much. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hi. Yes. One thing that I wanted to bring up was when you make guns illegal, law-abiding citizens then will not have them, but the criminals still will have weapons. They will still have a black market where they buy and sell weapons, and then they have open season on the whole populace then. It's like if you want to, I mean, are we going to ban everything that can be used as a weapon? A knife can be used as a weapon. Let's all get rid of our steak knives. let's get rid of, some people have been murdered with ball bats. Let's get rid of the bats, you know. Everything can be turned into a weapon by a human being that is a mind to do that. For evil intent. But they don't want the law-abiding people to be able to defend themselves against criminals and against the government is how I feel. So.
Yes, well, Miranda, you're exactly right. In fact, we go back to banning whatever kills a person, can kill a person. Cain killed Abel with a rock, a stone. Do we ban rocks and stones? The courts of his day did not think so. But yet that's the mindset, if we would carry it forward today, that we need to ban all rocks and stones. But you're exactly right. What we see is the fast track. We're on the fast track for the making of America into a socialist, Marxist, communist nation where the people cannot defend themselves, where the government controls everything that we do. And Biden has that in the back of his mind when he makes the bold statement that the government can crush you. And he makes the statement that if you're going to think that somehow you're defending yourself with an AR-15, you need an F-15 because the government can come at you and crush you. I think it is a sad, sad day when the President of the United States makes that veiled threat to common citizens, armed citizens, citizens that want to protect and defend our freedoms in America today. You're exactly right.
I think that that is part of the demonization of us people who like Trump or who are Republicans or conservatives, who are Christians. That is just, it's okay to hate us. You know, we're bad. We're very
That's
bad
right.
people.
Right.
And we're haters. And it's not us. It's not we, the Christians, that are haters. It's the other people that hate us many times. And, I mean, I don't approve of many things that people do and how they live their lives, but I don't hate them. And I would never be mean to them or unjust with them. I would try to treat them in a fair manner, no matter how I have to deal with them. But and it's because I am a Christian that I feel that way. I feel mercy for them. I feel pity a lot of times for some of the things that I see. But it's just basically we the people are the enemy. It's how they're framing it, I feel like. So.
Absolutely. They're putting it into position, just as we've seen in the past two and a half years, where all of a sudden moms and dads that go before the school boards are considered domestic terrorists. We find the clamping down on all the citizens through the IRS with another 87,000 of different revenue agents to come out and badger the general populace. We're finding we the people are being crushed in America today. Our freedoms are being eviscerated. Our lives are being threatened by the federal government on every hand. And yet we find the Biden administration, the Biden cabal, getting a tighter and tighter ring, if you please, or noose around the necks of all of our citizens, and using the excuse that we need to ban weapons and somehow, some way, put citizens in a position that we're subservient to the government. So, Miranda, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call and your input. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the right to keep and bear arms. Should citizens have the right of self-defense, the right to keep and bear arms? I'm looking at an article that says the feds pulled the trigger, collect records on 54 million U.S. gun owners. The Biden administration in Washington is collecting secretly, may I add, ladies and gentlemen, secretly collecting records on millions of gun owners across America, raising concerns that the anti-gun sentiment in the rank of the appointees will deal a blow to the Second Amendment. Biden claimed that our Constitution limits the type of the people that can own guns and what type weapons. He made the statement that the Independent Institute said that the simply everything in that statement that Biden made in relationship to the weapons. For example, Biden said that the Constitution limits the type of people who could own guns and what type of weapons they could own. I want somebody to show me in the Constitution where that's found. The mindset is the Constitution, Biden says, the Constitution sets forth who can have a gun and what kind of gun you can have. That's what he's saying, and it is absolutely unequivocally a lie. In fact, the report of the administration says the administration is poised to dramatically and drastically alter gun regulations to ensure that information on all Americans who own firearms ultimately end up in the federal government's hands and records to control our ownership of guns in America. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is happening with the death. This is boiled back to the boiling point, come to the forefront again, because the death of three people and five injured at the hands of a 43-year-old thug that went in and killed them. And again, may I put the parenthetical footnote to that statement? The media has not said anything about his social media. The media has not said whether he was a Trump follower. That's what they generally jump out and say to begin with. The media has not stated that it's racial bias that caused that. The media has not said whether he was a Islamic sympathizer, whether he was a full-fledged Islamic. They are simply avoiding that portion of what is normally broadcast. That causes me to believe, ladies and gentlemen, without any question or any reservation in my mind, that there's something major, major, major that they know about his background, about the threats that perhaps he's made on social media. I scanned through the internet this morning to try to find further documentation and information, and it's the slate's pretty much clean out there as far as any background information on this 43-year-old that killed the three people and injured five. But ladies and gentlemen, you hear very little in the news about what just took place in New York. It was just on the top of the hour news. I've got the headline news here in my hand. New York City pedestrian struck, dragged by U-Haul driver. New York Police Department bomb squad on the scene. So, ladies and gentlemen, you find very little about that. The police have no indication that there is any terrorism involved in the Bay Ridge, Brooklyn rampage. And I could go further. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, thank you. Same to you.
I was just thinking as you were talking, because, gosh, everybody that's been on, and I agree with what they've been saying, is that, okay, this man obviously was not of sane mind, was not a rational type of person, that type of, he must have had some kind of mental dysfunction so that he could have been in a room of all kinds of weapons, no matter what they would be. And if he was like a normal person, he would have never, ever used anything to hurt anybody because he was a normal person. So obviously this person is not in the right mind, right thinking, that type of a thing. So it doesn't really make any difference as far as what's accessible as far as him trying to hurt somebody. It's actually what type of a person is he? And, excuse me, I'm retired law enforcement. 1980s, I worked in a program called the Officer Friendly Program where I went around to elementary schools. I had 28 public schools that I went to, and we would go through. I'd have them look at my police car, say their name on the microphone, hear it come out of the speakers. And then with a little bit older kids, I guess maybe second, third grade, we'd talk about my uniform. I'd show them that I had a bulletproof vest that I was wearing. And then some of the parents may have guns at home. So I took a number two pencil, saying how long ago it was, and I would put it on a desk, and I'd say, okay, we're going to pretend that this is a gun. But I know it's a pencil, but we're going to pretend it's a gun. Can it hurt you if it's sitting on the desk all by itself? And I'd have a handful of kids that would raise their hand, and they'd say yes. And I'd say, well, how could it hurt you if it's sitting there all by itself? Well, you pick it up. I went, no. I'm not talking about you're going to pick it up. It's just going to sit there. And they would, some of them would be, oh, wow, I guess it can't hurt you if you don't touch it. And I go, exactly. So it's, so they're using this, as we all know, a tool to make it look like, oh, wow, that person wouldn't have killed somebody or as many people if he hadn't had a gun. Well, if he really wanted to kill people, he'd find some way to kill them or do bodily harm to them. It doesn't have to be. It's not the gun that's bad. See, they don't, they're trying to say man and women are not evil, but we know that we all are. We yes. all are since the fall, since Adam and Eve messed up. So it's like, it's not about the person. It's got to be the tool that they're using. So we'll make it against the law. But I think that's just a cover up, just as everybody has been saying, that they're just trying to disarm the United States. And Khrushchev was so good about saying, yeah, we're going to lose our country, but it's going to be from within. Not, and they're trying really hard to have our country overthrown, basically, is what they're doing. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much for your call and your insight. You're exactly right. We're on the fast track for watching the overthrow of America. We're watching the fast track of destroying the Constitutional Republic and demise, making America further devolving into a democracy, which is mob rule. You've heard me say many times on this broadcast, and I've screamed at the television oftentimes when even our conservative leadership in Washington will refer to America as being a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But we need to understand what our leadership, as we call it today, what they're doing is the fast track for destroying our nation, making us be less than a sovereign nation. Going back again to the article, New York City pedestrian struck and dragged by a U-Haul driver. Police said there's no indication there's any terrorism involved. A man driving a U-Haul went on a violent rampage. Maybe we need to outlaw U-Hauls. Maybe we need to outlaw hammers. Maybe we need to outlaw knives. Maybe we need to outlaw anything that can be placed in someone's hand and used as a weapon. But they're not outlawing the U-Hauls. This article says, in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, Monday morning, striking eight people, including a police officer, before being taken into custody. At this time, quote, this is what the article says, we have no indication there's any terrorism involved in this incident. Sewell told reporters that the scene Monday afternoon. However, as always, we will continue to investigate this incident and with full resources of the New York Police Department and our partners. At approximately 10:50 a.m., officers responded to a single person driving a U-Haul. This article goes further. One of the eight people struck who were in critical condition, two were in serious condition, and four sustained minor injuries. Seven of those people are civilians, and one of them a police officer who was taken in police action during the incident. Talking about the one that was the driver taken into police custody. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue. Should we, the people, the citizens, have the right to keep and bear arms? Let me just share with you two or three very poignant statements from my book on self-defense. It is very, very clear, and yet many are not aware of this. George Washington, for example, said, firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance that are the people's liberty teeth, end quote. Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. James Madison said, Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike citizens of all other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with weapons. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution should never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms. James Donald said, the usual road to slavery is at first they take away your guns, then they take away your property, then last of all, they will tell you to shut up, sit down, and enjoy it. George Mason said, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave any people. Thomas Jefferson said, the Constitution of our states asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that it is their right and duty at all times to be armed. Patrick Henry said, we should not forget that the spark which ignited the United States American Revolution was caused by a British attempt to confiscate the firearms of the colonists. Thomas Paine said, arms discharge and keep the invader and plunderer in awe and preserve order in the world as well as property. Horrid mischief would ensue were the law-abiding citizens deprived of the use of their weapons. Again, Thomas Jefferson makes a statement. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as the last resort to protect themselves from the tyranny of our own government. George Washington said, and I quote, firearms stand next to the importance of the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and keystone under independence. From the moment the Pilgrims landed, the first to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace, security, and happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally inseparable. The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere and everywhere restrains evil, inference, and interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that's good. In fact, in the Virginia Constitution, issued in 1776, made a profound statement. No freeman shall ever be disbarred from the right to use and to have his own weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a serious subject, and it's brought to mind again and afresh and anew with what has just happened. But what happens when a rancher, for example, is charged with murdering a Mexican trespasser? Self-defense is his claim. He fired a warning shot. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dateline February the 13th. The lawyer for George Allen Kelly, the elderly Arizona rancher, accused of first-degree murder for shooting a Mexican man trespassing on his property, saw he was armed, and they were approaching him with an AK-47. He fired warning shots to scare them away. That didn't scare them away, so he fired a shot and killed the intruder that was threatening his life and the life of his wife. Now this man sits behind bars in an Arizona prison, ladies and gentlemen. He is on a $1 million bond. They don't even allow him to have his reading glasses. He cannot see his wife. His wife is on the ranch 20 miles from the border. His wife is at the ranch by herself, cannot defend herself, and they have incarcerated him, waiting for trial, charging him with first-degree murder because of using a weapon to protect his life and the life of his family and his property. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got it upside down in America. We're watching those that are citizens, honorable citizens, protecting themselves, being charged with murder, while we find over and over and over again the thugs that have the weapons to go out and harm and cause mayhem are generally set free without any charges, are released with no bond. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.